Hello and welcome back to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry and outreach of the Washing Word. The Washing Word is our hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. And there you can come and get your car hand washed. And while you're there, you can flip to 107.1 FM and hear these and other messages on a loop throughout the parking lot. They transmit on about 150-foot radius of the Washing Word. We also encourage you to go by the washingword.com website. There you can find out all the information you want about this ministry and about the business. And so without further ado, let's continue in our verse-by-verse Bible study. We left off in John chapter 13. Jesus has just called out Judas. They're in the upper room now in the what we call the Last Supper. And he had said that there was one who would betray him. And last teaching, we talked a lot about, extensively about the grace of God and how the grace of God gives us the power and the ability to live as representatives of God himself, just as Jesus was a representative of God. And the Holy Spirit and the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to living a righteous life. And we do all this for the sole purpose of winning others to Christ, of being the hands and feet of Jesus for the sake of the lost. And so without rehashing too much of last message, remember, you can go to the washingword.com website to hear these messages and download them for free. You can come by the Washing Word and hear them on a loop at 107.1 FM while you're getting your car washed. And we also air these messages on WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. All right, let's pick up in chapter 13, the Gospel of John. And verse 22, Jesus continuing his talking to his disciples in the upper room. And he says, his disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. Remember, Jesus just called out the fact that one will betray him. Verse 23, one of them, the disciple who Jesus has loved, that's John. I always love that about him. He puts himself higher than others, but he doesn't really do it in a prideful way, but I digress. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. What you are about to do, do quickly, Jesus told him. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. And as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Let's stop there on verse 30. So let's do a complete 180 from our last message, where we talked mostly extensively about the grace of God. And let's talk about everybody's favorite subject, the devil. Let's talk about Satan. If for no other reason than to simply disclose his limited power. Excuse me. There are many pastors and preachers out there who will not and do not preach about the devil. And for whatever reason it is, maybe it's for fear of calling, you know, on his name or bringing up his name in church, that they fear giving him some glory. Maybe they don't preach about him out of simple ignorance. Maybe it's a lack of knowledge about the devil. Certainly, I know one major reason you don't hear a lot about Satan in our churches today is because people don't want to hear about the devil. They don't want to hear about hell. And the hearers of the messages aren't going to like it. Well, friends, not here in this ministry. I will preach about anything and everything in God's Word. And that is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, because inevitably I'm going to come to something that I don't want to preach about, and you're going to come to something that you don't want to listen to. But guess what, friends? It's all in there for a reason, because God wants us to study and preach the entirety of his word. And incidentally, doing it this way is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for what is coming in this world. So like it or not, here is some truth about the liar. Number one, Satan lacks authority in the life of a believer. I'm going to say that again because I think we forget that sometimes. Satan lacks authority in the life of a believer. Satan cannot touch you if you are a child of the King. And you might say, well, that doesn't seem accurate based on the things I'm going through in my life, based on the quote-unquote luck that I've been having or the misfortune that has befallen me. It seems as just the opposite is true, that Satan is doing nothing but taking authority over my life. Friends, I'm going to repeat it again. Satan cannot touch you if you are a child of the King. Pause for effect. Unless, of course, you give him permission. That is the only way he has any power in your life. If you give him permission to enter. Like the old vampire movies where they can't come into a house unless they're invited. Satan has no power over you except that which you allow him to give. And you say, well, I haven't given the devil any permission in my life. Sure you have. For every ungodly act, for every ungodly thought, for everything you do that is more worldly than spiritual, you are in one way or another inviting the demonic forces to have a foothold in your life. And the more we walk with Christ and the more in the Spirit of God we walk and live, the less ability he'll have to have any authority over you. And even if you do something wrong or you dabble in the occult and open up the doorway to spiritual darkness into your life, I almost wonder if those spirits still need permission to come into your life and to harbor things in your life. You remember Job, God had to give Satan permission to affect him. But whether or not God gives the demonic forces permission or not, when we act in accordance with the flesh and in accordance with the devil, we are basically giving him permission to harass us. He can't overtake us. He certainly cannot indwell in us. He cannot possess us, but we can be harassed by demonic forces. But can you imagine having the power that, you know, being the ruler, basically, of this world system? The Bible says that he is the ruler of this world system temporarily. And can you imagine having all that power that the devil has and still having to ask permission like a 9-year-old child? You know, I mean, that must be frustrating for the devil, but too bad. But listen, whether or not, again, whether he has to ask God for permission to harass you, or it's sort of an unwritten rule where if you give the devil a foothold, he's allowed to take it. God allows the trial, but he allows it for glory's sake. So don't believe that what you're going through for a second is for no reason or through no fault. God will use the devil to till the ground in your life for his work. And we don't see the fullness of Satan entering Judas until Jesus gave him the okay. You know, Judas was picked out from the beginning. From the day one of he met Jesus, he knew that he was going to be his betrayer. And I could just see in a spiritual, metaphoric way the devil just licking his chops, waiting for the moment that he could get into Judas so that he can try to get, you know, kill Jesus and stop the ultimate destruction of his kingdom, of the devil's kingdom, which is what Jesus will do at one point. But there's Satan licking his chops, waiting for the opportunity. And it isn't until Jesus gives him permission. He takes the bread and he hands it to him. That's as if to say, okay, now do what you want to do. And then it says, the Bible says, we just read it, that it was at that moment the devil entered Jesus. So friends, remember, the devil doesn't have any authority in the life of a believer unless God gives him permission and or you give him permission through your behavior. So not only, number one, does he not have that authority. Number two, Satan manifests himself only in desperate times. You will notice that Satan will manifest himself greatly only at desperate times. Because there is only one other time in Scripture that it says that the devil himself entered into a human being. Now, again, there's demonic forces and they harass us. They cause us to do great and terrible things. We see it all throughout Scripture. But as far as the devil entering into a person, the devil himself, it's only seen, as far as I can tell, twice in Scripture. Once here with Judas, and the second time when he enters the Antichrist in the book of Revelation at the very end of time. And both of those times, friends, are desperate times for the devil. Here, it's a desperate time because unless he can stop Jesus from going to the cross, he knows that he's doomed. Or maybe he thinks by getting him to the cross that'll stop Jesus from, you know, his mission. I don't know what the devil thinks he's trying to accomplish, but I do know he knows his time is short, and if Jesus gets to that cross, he's as good as defeated. And so between this opportunity here and then again in the Antichrist, when he enters the Antichrist, we're 3.5 years away from the very end of time, and we're about, and in that time, when he enters the Antichrist, we're about to have the millennial reign, and which, of course, we know after the 1,000-year reign, the devil and his kingdom will be completely defeated and thrown into lake of fire. But again, when he manifests himself a second time in the Antichrist, he's only 3.5 years away from being chained up into an abyss for 1,000 years. So, number one, Satan lacks authority in the life of the believer. Number two, Satan manifests himself only in desperate times. And so the fact that he only does this in desperate times should say something of the magnitude of the upcoming events that are about to take place with Jesus. He will enter the Antichrist to confirm an unholy trinity, and here he will enter Judas to try and stop the one who will officially defeat his strongest weapon, and that is the fear of death. And thirdly, about our enemy, Satan cannot win. Friends, it is his nature to fail. The number 666 is, the number 6 represents failure. And just like Jesus said, Paul said, all things work out for the good of those who love God, in the devil, all things work out for failure. They have to. It is his nature. Just like his native tongue is to tell lies, his native nature is to fail. That said, he is still a very clever and deceptive enemy. And he has Judas believing that he was helping Jesus to become even more popular. And the last thing we're going to look at before we close, again, not only does Satan lack authority in the life of a believer, not only does Satan manifest himself only at desperate times, and not only does Satan cannot win, but lastly, God uses Satan to the point of embarrassment. God uses Satan almost to the point of embarrassment, like a sad little play toy. It's like a Major League Baseball team playing a 12-year-old Little League team. It isn't even a contest. It isn't even fair. You ever seen a bull toss a matador into the air? The power behind a bull and his horns, it's like the matador is a rag doll, just tossed. Like there isn't even the slightest bit of a threat. It's almost an embarrassment. Satan is God's little chew toy. And so remember, when Satan is coming at you, laugh at him, point and mock him, call him out and tell him how powerless and insignificant he really is. And pick up your foot and look under your shoe and talk down to him, because in Christ, that is where the devil is. He is under your foot, and you are mighty in strength in Christ, and you are pure in righteousness in Christ, and you are sufficient in grace in Christ. You are complete in knowledge. Well, if that doesn't give you something to go on today, I've got nothing else for you. Listen, we are victorious in Christ. And friends, let that be a lesson today to remind you that the enemy does not have authority over your life except that which you give him. So live holy, live righteously, and seek the glory of God so that you can be the representative of God and then win souls for Christ. Because after all, isn't that what we're doing here? Well, I encourage you to come by the washandword.com website for all the information about this ministry. Join me again tomorrow on this radio station or come by the Washing Word and let us wash your car. Have a blessed day.